Do you think a real Christian should expect to be appreciated by people? They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. These words were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ to his own disciples. We are reading just now in the Gospel of John, just finishing chapter 15 and reading in the first part of chapter 16. If you will open your Bibles there, I want to draw your attention to some of the words that are found. This is that portion of the Scripture which presents what the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples just before he left them. He was getting them ready to go on with their testimony and their witness in their living after he was gone. He knew he was going to be taken out of the world. He knew that he would have to leave them. He felt he was leaving them as sheep without a shepherd. He felt that when the shepherd was smitten as he was, and he would be smitten, that the sheep would be scattered. But he knew what he intended to do in blessing them, and he wanted them to remember this and to be ready for cooperation with him after he was raised from the dead. So we read now here in John certain things about this. I'm going to read first a few verses at the end of John 15, because there were a few verses there I did not deal with yesterday in the talk, and so today I want to mention them again. This is in chapter 15, and beginning now to read in verse 26, when we get these words, "But when the Comforter is come," and that refers to the Holy Spirit, "whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." He's going to make it clear to the whole world the things that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. "And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." And God intends people to find out about the Lord Jesus Christ, but the people who are going to show them are the people who already know about him. Now in chapter 16, in the first verse we read, the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, "These things have I written unto you, that you should not be offended." Now the word offend is that you should not be hindered. This word offend or offense is like stumbling block, that nothing should put a stumbling block in your way. And he says, "I have written this so that you wouldn't be hindered, or you wouldn't be caused to stumble when persecution comes," because persecution will come, and it's going to come to you. And if you witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, as we were pointing out in the last lesson that you're going to, because you've been called to do it, just as sure as you testify for him, people are going to oppose you. They oppose him, they'll oppose you. If you testify of the Lord Jesus Christ and you tell people that you know him personally and that he's alive today, they'll treat you just the way they treated the Lord when he was alive today. They want nothing to do with him and turned away from him, so now they will turn away from you. And so the writer reports the Lord Jesus said, "I'm telling you now so that when it does come to pass, you won't be so shocked by it and you won't be so impressed by it." Christians, you see, live with other people. Christians live in the world, and they maintain relations with other people. And as they witness to and live with other people and witness to them, they talk with other people. These Christian people let other people know about God, and they let people know about heaven. They actually think, and they let people know about judgment. They let people know about hell. They let people know about salvation. They really and truly believe that a man is saved through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Christians believe this, and they share this with people. Now, the resistance to such a message, the opposition to it and the resistance to it can become very personal. It doesn't need to start out that way, but it will become that way. There are people who are very sensitive about the gospel. They don't want to hear it. They don't want anyone to talk about it. They don't want anyone to tell them anything about it. This may very well be tied up with the fact they've rejected Jesus Christ, and they're conscious of the fact they're not right, so they're hoping to make up for it in some other way, so that actually they don't want to hear the gospel. And when anyone speaks it to them, they will resist it with all the power with which they resisted Jesus Christ in the first place. As I say, such resistance can become very personal, and they'll be unexpected and very shocking. Now, let us look verse by verse here as we go along to notice what actually has been said when the Lord Jesus is talking to his disciples. He is reminding them that their witness for him can make them very obnoxious to people. And because of the opposition of people, in the first verse, chapter 16, verse 1, you see that he's reminding the disciples that this opposition can be very disturbing to them. And actually, it will be that way with you. If you're trying to live a Christian life, you're living in your home, you're trying to live a Christian life, you believe in God, and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe in heaven, and you really believe a person can get right with God, you've got loved ones in your home, you can't help but want them to know, and you feel like telling them. If you're teaching in a Sunday school class, you want the children to know. If you're living in the community, you want the community to know. You just want people to know that these things are so. And yet, when you let them know that these things are so, you run into this opposition in places, which is actually very strong against what you are doing. This is hard to bear, and it can be a real hindrance. So the Lord Jesus says, I'm warning you about it so that when it does happen, it won't upset you so much, because it can be very disturbing. You see, if you're running into opposition, you can wonder if you're right. If you're trying to live a Christian life in your home, you're trying to read the Bible, you're trying to pray, you're trying to go to church, you're trying to give to the Lord's work, you're doing everything you possibly know that's right, you try to be humble before the neighbors and meek among all people in every way you possibly can, then you have trouble. Then you have real opposition and trouble. You can be disturbed to wonder if you're doing the right thing. You may wonder whether or not God isn't actually against you. And one of the reasons why this will be so difficult is comes out in the second chapter. Because one of the strange things about all the opposition there is to the gospel, you'll get more bitter opposition for people inside the church than you will anywhere else. Generally speaking, if you step out in the world and tell people that the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost, the people generally in the world will acknowledge that and will feel that actually that makes sense and is true. But inside the church, if you get up and preach that and tell the people in the church the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost, they almost resent it, because they seem to feel you think that they're lost, and of course they are. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't make a difference in the church or out of the church. If you haven't got the Lord Jesus Christ, you are lost. And so there will be people who resent that. If you, for instance, actually believe that there is a hell, and you want to warn people against it, tell the children not to go to it, you believe there is a real devil, and you talk about the fact that there is a real devil, and you speak about trying to get away from him, you will find there will be people in the church who will actually take exception to what you're doing. They'll be opposed to it. They'll say that you're too blunt. They'll say you're too direct. They'll say you're too rigid. You're making it too much in or out. It isn't quite that clear, that kind of thing. They'll find things to say, and they'll say the things that are necessary to get the common judgment against you. And you can expect that you actually will have trouble. Here we read in chapter 2, they shall put you out of the synagogues. That's the place of public worship and learning. They shall put you out of the synagogues. The time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. Now, some of you who are listening to me will say, well, in our country we don't kill anybody. But don't you realize when people withdraw themselves from you, they're counting just like as if you were dead, in a sense? Don't you realize when people want to put you out of the church, when they want to get you out of the Sunday school class, when they want to get you out of the office that you have, when they just don't want you to do anything, don't you see that their attitude is one of just killing you? They don't want you. They want to be rid of you. And when you have here where you think that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service, you can restate that and say, whosoever will get you out of the work, whosoever will keep you from doing anything, whosoever will keep you quiet and keep you from giving any testimony, whosoever will want to get you out of the situation and away from the church altogether, get you to go someplace else and just leave them alone, will think that he doeth God's service. The interesting thing is that some of these people in the church will actually feel virtuous while they're opposing you for no other reason in the world than that you believe in the gospel. Some people become very obnoxious because they believe in prayer. Even in a family, you might, in instance, say to people that you think you ought to pray to God. For some people, it's just infuriating for you to talk that way, and they will treat you accordingly. And verse 3, because these things, and these things will they do unto you, because they have not known me nor the Father. You're to understand that in many cases, this is happening because they're simply ignorant of God and ignorant of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 4, you will find that the Lord Jesus told this so that his disciples wouldn't be too much upset when it happened. These things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. so that you won't be too much upset. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. You see, while he was here around with his disciples, he didn't need to tell them anything in advance, because if they ran into trouble, they could just turn to him and he could interpret it right then and there. This is being spoken ahead to the, for the days when he wouldn't be here, like when you and I are here. You and I may be all alone. You may be in your home all alone by yourself, and you're standing up for the things of the Lord, and you may have the impression that there's nobody around that cares for you at all. You do remember that the Lord is there, even though you can't see him. And the presence of the Lord will actually help you so that whatever opposition you get will really be unimportant. When you have a feeling that you're standing alone, the opposition can be bad. But if you have a feeling he's standing with you, then you can stand it so much better. Notice now also in verses 5 and 6, "Now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou?" In other words, they had every confidence in what he was doing. If he was going to leave, they had confidence in that. "But because I have said these things, sorrow hath filled your heart." They didn't have any really resistance to his going away. They knew that was in the will of God. But they were burdened to think that they were going to be left alone, standing and facing the whole world. And he spoke this in such a way as to try and encourage them and comfort them. It seemed that he wanted them to keep them, if possible, from worry and concern. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to us as we think on these things. Make us to be faithful regardless of the opposition we have, and to bear a true witness for Jesus Christ, even though in so doing people may not like what we say. Help us, for thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.